hear your voice like a whisper in the breeze. I feel your presence as you're dancing over me. So I run through the meadows of your love just to find you, just to find you.
Hallelujah. Well, we have we got working on this a couple weeks ago. We started a series, and inside that series are probably many series. I thought it was a series, and I thought maybe it wasn't a series. I thought it was going to be a series on worship. Then God gave me insight in the next one and the next one. Now this one's going to be longer than I anticipated. But I think the Holy Spirit's just really wanting us, and I don't want to say it's overly like just practical stuff, because I think this is deeper than that. I think the Holy Spirit is wanting us to recognize a symptom that's going on in the body of Christ. And for two reasons. First of all, it's going to help us to make sure that symptom, if we see that symptom, that we knock it out of us quickly, right? Because symptoms, the longer you allow symptoms to go without checking them and getting them in line, the worst off that you can become. Oh, okay. All right. They must have been in our service, so they knew there was a flood. Hallelujah. So when people, so the longer you allow symptoms to go, they can really dig their heels in and hurt. And sometimes we think it'll eventually go away, but certain symptoms you gotta take action on. Well, that's the way a lot of these things are. Is we start seeing some things. We spent the first little bit talking about how, you know, people, you know, want to treat praise and worship like just kind of like it's extra. It's just something that extra that we do. It's a song service, and they don't really understand what's going on during that time. And so it, when I started this whole thing off by just really spending a lot of time dealing with that area, that check out that symptom in your life. Are you a person that longs to be in praise and worship? Are you a person that needs to get there, that needs to get there prompt so that you don't miss anything? Are you a person that, and again, the point is not that you're not necessarily a Christian. It's the point that you're allowing the symptom to come in. And when that symptom comes in, it can start overtaking you, and church can become a heavy burden instead of the edification that it's supposed to be. We talked the second week really about the second part of this was just one message, which is what I thought all these were going to be in dealing with the area of the church, and the best insight that I got on that whole booger was that you are the house of God, in as much as you are connected to other living stones. So a lot of people think they're the house of God, and I don't really know that they are. I know that you say, you know, you're the temple, you're the tabernacle, you're this, whatever. But I believe the new covenant really shows us that we are living stones that are built into a spiritual house. And so in our, when you're connected with other spiritual stones, that's what makes you the house of God. So that was so, powerful when that came into us, but the Holy Spirit has us. Last week, got us going into this area that I think is another symptom of people that are not, I guess you'd say, just are not wanting to serve God or are starting to see. How about this? Starting to see their desire for God wane. I've seen too many people who, some of the worst people to talk to are people that have gone to church when they were little, because they know all the right words to use about church. They know, I have a relative, and I'll just leave it at that, who's raised in church, who went to Bible college, who pastored for years. And now he's just kind of, you know, he went through a rebellious stage, all this kind of stuff. Just won't get into all the details of that. Went through a rebellious stage, kind of went on and did his own thing. And now he's living, I don't know if he's living in sin. That's not for me to say, but he's got this big understanding. I've got enough knowledge that I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. So he doesn't belong to a church, doesn't go to a church. If he goes to a church, he finds something wrong with it. And again, my point is that his enthusiasm, or what's going on in him is the spirituality, the part of it is starting to wane, starting to go backwards, and it's a very dangerous place to be. I won't make an identifying part with him, you know, if he's a Christian, if he's not a Christian, if he's going to heaven or not. But what I will say is that he's in a very precarious position regarding his Christianity because he's allowed these things to come in and to stop him from that. Well, this next area is an area that I told you last week that I really wasn't even looking at. I thought maybe I just mentioned this. This becomes something that is just, basically I talk about at the beginning of the message and then kind of go into a couple other points. But the Holy Spirit began really revealing to me as I studied this thing that this is bigger than what I thought. I mean, today I finished my notes on it. I actually went through the end and finished my notes on it, and I'm at 12 pages on this thing. Just this area of enthusiasm. You can call it zeal. The Bible uses a lot of places. The zeal of God has overtaken me. Things in that order. Other places, other people use the word passion. Either of those, any of those, would fit this criteria of enthusiasm. And as I began yesterday afternoon, Jesse was working, Allison was being lazy in Ryan's room, Katie had gone to work, and so I was just kind of sitting back there, and I'd pulled up a little table beside me, and I started kind of praying about. Because I was going to go through and start studying a little bit, and I started praying about this area, and this quote came up to me, and I'm going to put it in Facebook. I didn't put it in Facebook because I wanted you guys to hear it first, but this is a quote straight from the heart of God, through Pastor Thad, amen. And I got to really sell this, right? When you, and this may not have anything to do. This just has to do with a lot of the stuff. When you have to be comfortable with your sin in order to enjoy your Christian walk, I've got news for you. It isn't your Christianity that you're excited about. Meditate on that for a second. When you have to be comfortable with your sin in order for you to enjoy your Christian walk, it's not your Christianity that you're excited about. That hit me. It kind of hit me as I was sitting there. I felt the Holy Spirit speak that to me. I wrote that down. That was the only thing I had written down for a long time. Because that hit me so strong that we're living in a culture right now that everybody wants to be comfortable with sin in the church and things on that order so they can enjoy their Christian walk. And beloved, I'm telling you that if you've got to be comfortable with your sin in order to enjoy your Christian walk, beloved, it ain't your Christianity that you're excited about. It's your sin. I get to keep my sin. It's time that we get enthusiastic about the things of God. About hearing the heart of God, knowing the heart of God, walking with God, living for God. It's time that we get excited and enthused about that. The Gallup poll. It's a poll that's done by horses. It's the Gallup poll. They did a survey of 13,000 people who used to attend church that no longer do. And they did a survey of them and asked them what it would take for them to get back in church. And the number one, by quite a ways, the number one answer was passions in the lives of the members and the leadership. passion, enthusiasm. I was like, well, that don't preach my sermon for me. The thing that people are looking for in the church that they can't seem to find, they might find love, they might find good music, they might find a lot of that kind of stuff, but are they finding the enthusiasm? Are they finding someone that's excited about serving God, excited about the things of God? They might find people who are holy, but are they excited about being holy? Amen. You guys think a lot, I think. We don't want to give Pastor Thad too much of a... We're gonna think about this. And I believe the missing ingredient for the Christian walk. And again, I think we'll keep building on this as we go to other points. If we go to the other points, I don't know what we're doing. I'm going week by week on this thing trying to find this out. I just know He wants me to talk to you over these next couple of weeks, last week and this week and probably next week, regarding this area of enthusiasm, building enthusiasm, a violent passion, an excitement, pursuit of something, confidence of success, an intense and eager enjoyment, interest, fervor, passionate, eagerness to accomplish or attain something. That's enthusiasm, that's zeal. And that's what God wants. Beloved, I believe that's what we're missing as the body of Christ, not necessarily us as the body of Christ, that we got to make sure, how enthusiastic am I about going to church? How excited am I about the things of God? How excited am I about spending time with God in my daily walk? In the end of the worship service, and the Holy Spirit talked to us just about taking the breather and making sure that we spend that time with God. Not just, again, hopefully you have that one time with God that you spend in the beginning of your day where you talk to Him and fellowship with Him and love on Him. But again, we need, I believe, through the day. You know, you're driving to Walmart to get something, and what's wrong with sitting in the car for an extra couple minutes and just put your hands up and just get caught up in His Spirit a little bit? I was on my way the other day to Walmart, and I pulled up, and I was the song "So Good" by Zach Williams. We've played it many times here, was on. And I just kind of stayed in my car for an extra 3 minutes until that song was over, just kind of getting really emotional, just allowing allowing the presence of God to fill that place up. And again, I'm not saying that I'm the only example. I'm just saying that when we take that time, breathers every day, to just simply to be by ourselves, just to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and to revitalize us and allow His Spirit, that the word Spirit in the New Testament, it comes from the New Testament word pneuma, which basically is breath. And so what gave Adam and Eve life in the garden was the breath of God. He breathed into them and gave them breath, gave them His breath. So what's going to sustain you every day in your life is not, well, if I eat right, I have more energy. I've noticed that when I eat right, I have more energy. That's cool. You know, God gives you wisdom. God lets you know what you need to eat. That's cool. I'm not saying eating right's not right. But I'm telling you what's going to energize you and what's going to cause you to change your outlook on all the other little things in your life is standing, sitting, being in that presence of God and just breathing Him in. Letting Him fill that atmosphere about you and breathe Him in. That's what's going to change you. That's what's going to change your perspective over what you're doing that day. I got to go to work. Show up 5 minutes earlier than you need to. Get in the parking lot. Let the newsboys, Skillet, Bethel, music or Jesus Culture or Lincoln Brewster. Let it play for an extra 5 minutes. Find a song. There's a song by Lincoln Brewster that we were on our way. I was listening to this new album, and we were on our way to Lexington the other day, I think it was, and we were playing it. It was the first time I was listening through some of the songs, and I was listening. I think I played it for you the other night, and I listened to it, and I got halfway done. I looked over, and Jessie was just kind of flipping through her phone. She wasn't paying attention. I said, "Yeah, are you hearing the song?" And she goes, "No, I wasn't paying attention." I said, "You need to listen to the song. This is awesome." So I rewound it to so she could hear it, and it was. I'll find the name of it, but it was so, the words just kind of breathed life. It's called "While I Wait," and if you remember, yeah, I played it the other day. The chorus says basically it's about the time between "Amen" and "There It Is," and the chorus says something like "While I wait, I will worship," and I was like, that's powerful. Just a very intimate, sweet song. But I listened to it and just allowed it, just started getting me caught up. And I thought, this is, but see, it's that's got to be what sustains you. That's what's got to be what gets you in that area, is an enthusiasm to move into that, an enthusiasm to spend time with God, an enthusiasm there. Because if that's not there, beloved, again, I'll say it's a symptom. There's something going on deeper. You're growing cold instead of being hot. Amen. And so we dealt with the area last week. We talked about drawing back unto perdition. Why do people draw back? Because they lose their enthusiasm. We dealt with the breakdown of the word enthusiasm. What does enthuse mean? Enthuse comes from the word in, which means within, and theos, which means God. So basically, the basic root of enthusiasm, the very basic foundational part of enthusiasm, is God living in us. God in us. In other words, beloved, if God is in you, then there should be a natural outflow of joy and enthusiasm that just comes from Him being in you. So, again, if we're looking in our lives and we're like, I'm not really excited about going to church. I'm not saying He's not living in you. I'm saying you need to guard yourself because other things may be moving in. Selah. There may be other things starting to take over that you've got to identify so that you can go, "Hey dudes, this is not your room." Amen. Go to Romans 12. We'll get a little bit, then we'll get to where we left off last week. But this has spoke to me so much, and I trust that. See, lack of enthusiasm will keep you from wanting to spend time with God daily. Lack of enthusiasm will keep you from wanting to read your Bible. Lack of enthusiasm will keep you from wanting to get in. Try to hear extra word during that week. Lack of enthusiasm will make it hard for you to get up on Sunday mornings. I think a lot of times people have a harder time getting up at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning to show up to church at 10 o'clock than they do at getting up at 7 o'clock to show up to work at 8 o'clock on the weekdays. They have a harder time, and it should be easier because you get an extra couple hours of sleep. But why is it harder? Enthusiasm. Now again, you say, "Oh, I'm not that really enthusiastic about my work." You kind of get enthusiastic about the money, the paycheck. At least every week or 2 weeks, you're kind of excited you worked that week. All right. Okay, apparently you don't, so that's cool. If I go to church, pastor's just going to preach at me. No, we'll preach to you, with you. Amen. You can ask for more money. No, I don't want to ask for money. I ask you for to agree with me for increase. Tell you what God tells you. I get Romans 12 yet. Romans 12, 11. Just a list of things. God's going through here and saying, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. This is important. And here in verse 11, he says, "Don't be slothful in business. Be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." The New Living Translation reads it like this. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. What a way to say it. Serve the Lord enthusiastically. Beloved, do not allow anything in your life to steal that enthusiasm of serving God. Let that be one of the marks on your life. Amen? Well, last week we got going in this last area. And so go to Psalm 69. Not, I say the last area. It's not the last area. It's just the last area we were covering last week. And we didn't make it through the whole thing. But we were discussing how one of the greatest warriors, he was the greatest warrior. He was a man who never knew what it was like to lose. The only time he ever experienced any kind of what you'd call loss in his life had to do with his child with Bathsheba. And that was a mess because he did things completely opposite of what he'd done all of his life. He was foolish. He ran away from war. He was trying to be just kind of not do what he knew he was supposed to do. And then he did something that he really wasn't supposed to do, and which led him to do something he really, really wasn't supposed to do. And he got called out on it. And that's the only time. But when he operated the way he was supposed to operate, and when he, this ingredient, this lost ingredient, when we see that in his life, he saw victory after victory after victory after victory. And so in Psalm chapter 69, verse 9, is where we started talking about David. And this was his mentality. He said, "For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." I mean, it has consumed me. The zeal of thine house, the enthusiasm I have for the house of God has consumed me. And the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. The New Living Translation says, passion for your house has consumed me. The Passion Translation says, my love for you has my heart on fire. My passion consumes me for your house. Nothing will turn me away, even though I endure all the insults of those who insult you. Oh, I love that. I love the beauty of that language there, that artisticness of that language. My love for you has my heart on fire. See, that should be the lingo. That should be the mentality of every child of God. Let my heart, I desire my heart to be on fire for you. I want my heart to be on fire for you. I want everything that I do. I want everybody I come in contact with to know that I'm on fire for God. Now, if we did a test here today, and we're not going to do this test. But if I took a lighter and lit Neil's clothes on fire, and he's running around here, on fire. How many of you now, besides getting a blanket and covering him up and calling 911 to have the police come and get me, how many of you would just come up to him and say, Pastor Neil, or Brother Neil, let me give you a hug? No, because anybody he gets close to is going to get burned. Now, I wouldn't do that. I think Brother Neil knows that I wouldn't do that. So it's a safe illustration. But see, that's the way we're supposed to be as Christians. Sometimes we get so concerned with ourselves that I don't want people that be uncomfortable when they're around me. Now, again, I'm not saying be jerks. Okay. That's not what I'm saying. But we don't want people to feel uncomfortable when they're around us. If I'm going to go and I'm going to be in a group of people, everybody knows I'm a pastor. I mean, they ask me who I am. I love, one of my favorite ones is after they've been an idiot and cussed up a storm, and then they ask me what I do for a living. When I was a youth pastor in Georgetown for a season. I didn't do it for a season. I was single, and so I would go golfing whenever I had some free time when I wasn't working. And when I go golfing, I go by myself. And so they would always group me up with a twosome or a threesome that was already out there so that you wouldn't have just one person, because you always play fast as one person. And so I would get hooked up, which I'd gotten used to it because when I worked at the golf course, I did it all the time. And so one day they put me with these three older gentlemen that were buddies. They'd been buddies for quite some time. And we had played for about three holes. And I was just playing, you know, having a good time. They'd say stuff to me, but usually they were talking to themselves. And then to each other, not to individuals. And they would share a few choice jokes. And I'd sit there and I'd stand with my hands on my clubs and shake my head and I'd hit and I'd go. I just went out there to play golf. I wasn't there. And we finally get to one of the holes on the golf course. And we're standing on the tee box, and it's where you tee off. And we look out, and there's people ahead of us. So we had to stand there for a while. And one of the guys finally thinks, "Oh, we'll talk to this young whippersnapper, right?" And so he looks at me and he words it like this. He says, "So what do you do for a living? Are you a criminal or a pastor?" I go, "I'm a pastor." And they go, "Seriously, what are you?" I said, "I'm a pastor." And here's these older men. I mean, they had to be retired age. Their eyes get about this big around. And like, we should probably be doing some repenting for how we've been talking, shouldn't we? I said, "How you choose to do it, that's up to you guys. I'm here to play golf. That's up to you. If you feel convicted," I didn't say that, but "if you feel convicted, that's up to you." But they changed after that. They were like, "Oh, we don't need to do that." It's one of my favorite things because all of a sudden they were good boys. They wanted to talk to me about their church. All right. Amen. But what I'm saying is that if you're on fire, everyone you touch, everywhere you go, it's going to have to somehow be obvious. If you're a curmudgeon and you're a grouch and everywhere you go, some people, everybody makes someplace better. Some by showing up, some by leaving. But everybody makes places better. Which way are you? You should be the one that goes in there, lights up the room. You should be the one that when somebody comes in contact with you, they're changed. "Well, Pastor Thad, I'm not that holy." I'm talking about shining. I'm talking about being on fire for God. I'm talking about being illuminated. Listen. Would anybody with Neil running around here, with clothes on fire, flames shooting up, would anybody get offended with Neil for talking about being on fire? "Randy, I'm on fire," Randy says. "It's time that you quit talking about yourself. There's other people in the sanctuary." "Doc, I'm on fire." "You know, you're being selfish. You're not being thoughtful of me at all. Come on." You know, when you're on fire about something, it should be contagious. It should be something that is spread to others. And it says here, "I was on fire for my God. I had passion regarding the house of the Lord." And beloved, that needs to be the definition of who we are. That needs to be what we are known for. What's your reputation? Hallelujah. But that's what David's reputation was. His heart burned. His love for him, love for God, set his heart on fire. Passion consumed him for his house. And we started last week, and we started looking at just several areas of his life, and we thought, my Lord, he had passion. He had enthusiasm for everything he did. The first one we looked at last week, and we won't go through this again, we read through it, was when he faced Goliath. 1 Samuel chapter 17, when he went, every place he went, he kept running. His dad said, I need you to go. Go, all right, I'll go. He went there. And then he got there and he said, hey, servants, here, keep the horse and buggy and stuff. And he ran to the armies. And then he ran to Saul. And then he ran to Goliath. And then he kept saying with enthusiasm, hey, Goliath, you're going to die. Hey, Saul, Goliath's going to die. Hey, soldiers, what happens with Goliath when Goliath dies? I mean, he had this air about him that caused his brother to get offended. It's kind of like David was like, I'm on fire. And he goes, why are you talking about yourself? You naughty little thing, you. Who do you think you are? But see, how many know that the brothers were grateful when Goliath dropped dead? And I know some of you say, well, I still think they may have had something in there. They may have had something still in there, but that's a them problem. You know, your friends and family may get offended when all you're doing is talking about God. But when you're exhibiting the power, the anointing, the manifestation of who He is, when you're exhibiting that, they don't get quite as upset. When you're laying hands on them and watching them freed from the sickness and the pain and the hurt that's in their lives, when you're, they ain't quite as upset with you. I'm not saying they won't be still upset with you. They're just not quite. So he had, the first thing we talked about is he was enthusiastic. I'm going to say it like this about the battle. Could we almost say in the battle, enthusiastic in the battle? Because even though he always was looking for the next, I'm going to get this. It was more or less because he was enthusiastic because he knew where the victory was going to come from. Jesus told us in Hebrews 12, he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. It wasn't necessarily the battle that he was in the midst of that caused him to be excited. It was for the victory that was going to come because he knows what battles bring. You can't have a victory if you don't have a battle. I could sit around here all day and just think. I'm the best basketball player ever. I can slam dunk it. I'll slam dunk right over top of any NBA player. I'll hit threes over their head. And I can have this running through my head about how good I am, and I can be real egotistical and all that stuff about it. But as enthusiastic as I am about this area, I didn't live a victory. Amen. I've not walked in that victory. Walking in that victory is what brings you, knowing that that's where you're going is what brings you that enthusiasm. So David did that. David just was enthusiastic. And again, you could write about this, enthusiastic about the battle / victory. Because he knew a battle was going to produce a victory. And so he's enthusiastic. But notice, let's go on here. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 6. Because this is another one I think that, I think it's a symptom of the church as a whole right now. And again, I'm not talking about us, because I don't think it's us. When we get into the worship and the praise of God, but it can be symptoms of some of us. Amen. There are symptoms that come on me that I realize that allergies are starting to mess with me. Usually I don't get a lot of really heavy stuff in my head until it's gotten pretty rough. Usually it's more just a little bit of phlegm in my throat. I just kind of feel some stuff going on down there. And I just recognize it, so I'll start taking some Zyrtec, and I won't deal with it anymore. It cleans it up. But if I don't catch it, if I don't start taking it early, I mean, sometimes I've like let it go a couple of weeks and I think, it'll just go away, whatever, you know, and all kind of stuff. But if I don't catch it right away, it'll get worse and worse and worse. It becomes more phlegm, more all that kind of stuff, and then it gets going on in the cabeza and all that kind of stuff. So catch it, you know, at an early stage. And so that's just the picture that I'm seeing where a lot of even people in here, I'm not saying that you are, but if there's any kind of inkling that your passion for the house of God isn't what it used to be, your passion for the things of God isn't what it used to be, get it. Hopefully we'll get some stuff going here today. Okay, we won't, but hopefully we'll get through this today. But we'll get some areas going where we understand that that I need to get back on top. I need to stir up this passion. What's the song? Stirring up my passion, rising up in me, filling up my hunger with everything I need. Creator God. I always sing that Thursday, right? We've got to build up that passion, stir up that passion. Anyway, but this is one that I think a lot of is a big symptom, but it wasn't a symptom for David. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 12. Now remember, Israel is bringing back the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, the symbol of the presence of God back into Jerusalem. It's been, the Philistines have had it. And so now they're bringing it back. They get going on it, and what they did, if you remember, David got a brand new cart with brand new oxen and all this kind of stuff and said, we're going to bring us back. And he put it on there because he was like, yeah, we're going to do this thing right. It wasn't right. And so on their way back, they hit a little bump in the road and the Ark of the Covenant started rocking. And this gentleman, Uzzah, I believe, was like, oh no, we can't do that. And he reached over to steady it so it wouldn't fall. And the second he touched it, he died. Well, that bothered the people and it bothered David. And so David just took it up a little bit further and dropped it off at the house of Obed-Edom. And verse 12, so it's been there for a while. Verse 12, it says, and it was told King David saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David said, I want that blessing in Jerusalem. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom unto the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bare the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. This is enthusiasm about getting the presence of God back into their lives and their city. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal saw and she despised him in his heart, right? But notice what a passion he had for the presence of God, getting the presence of God back in his city, close to him, the blessings of God. I need all of God. I need more of God. I don't want his blessing just blessing someone else. I don't want someone else to be the one to just receive what he has. I want it in my life. I want it in my city. I want it in my nation. I want that presence of God on me. And there's an enthusiasm about bringing the presence of God back to him, to his life, to his city. And most Christians crawl out of bed, meander to their car, drive reluctantly to church, get to the house of God, sing half-heartedly while they're praising, listen a little bit to the sermon, enough that if Pastor Thad had to, you know, decided to do a test on it, they could maybe come close to passing. Setting their focus on what they're doing after service. More passionate about the afternoon plans than being in the presence of God. And we wonder why things aren't working for us. Why we're not going from victory to victory. While we might have a victory here and there, we seem to go from attack to attack, to frustration after frustration. And I'm going to tell you, beloved, we are not of those that draw back unto perdition, but those that press in to the saving of our souls. We must, enthusiasm will energize you in your walk with God. Enthusiasm will drive you to the presence of God, drive you to the house of God. You still have to get in the car and do that, but you have to get it. It'll make you want to be there. David was that way. That's why he danced with all his might. That's why he did not passively worship the Lord. Amen. Let's go on. I'll move on. Hallelujah. Can everybody understand? Pastor Thad's not sitting here accusing anybody of being cold. I'm just simply saying this is something we need to watch out for in our lives. And when you're talking to people at your work about church and they're like, you just go, this is a symptom. This is a symptom. They're either going to the wrong church. Well, they probably are going to the wrong church, but it's a symptom. It's something that you need to recognize, that even if they are a child of God, that there needs to be some infusion done so that they can have that energy they need. David was enthusiastic about the house of God, about the presence of God, but he was also enthusiastic in preparing stuff for the work of God. And we're going to use these words first, the preparing stuff for the word of God first. Because go to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. See, David was not allowed to build the house of God because of him being such a warrior. He killed so many people, a lot of bloodshed. And so God said, I want someone who's a man of peace. And there was a reason. David did what he was supposed to do, but he said, a man of peace is going to be the one that builds my house. So he said, I'm going to let your son, Solomon, be the one to build my house. And you know what? David didn't sit around and sulk and whine and like, but it's not fair. I've done all this stuff for you. I've done all this stuff. No. Why? Because he loved God and he was enthusiastic about God. So what God told him to do was prepare. You can't build, but prepare. Do what you're called to do.
Amen.
Pastor said, I don't get any spotlight time. Nobody around this church knows how good I can sing. Everybody knows you can carry a tune, Pastor Thad, sometimes. Everybody knows Pastor Jessica can carry a tune. Alice can carry a tune. Steve can carry a tune. Everybody knows Steve can play the guitar. Nobody knows I can play the guitar, Pastor Thad. It's not fair. David could have easily said, God, that's not fair. Well, that's the motto of an unenthusiastic person. It's not fair. You hear those words come out of someone's mouth and you can just understand right then and there, they're losing their enthusiasm for what God's called them to do. Because see, when God has called you to do something, it's the most exciting thing you ever done in your life. It's the thing that drives you. You can't wait to get it done. David set his affections on the house of God. Are you in 1 Chronicles 22? It says, then David said, this is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel and set masons and hew wrought stones to build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails for the door of the gates and for the joinings, and the brass in abundance without weight, and cedar trees in abundance for the Zidonians, and they of Tyre brought much cedar to David. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be built for the Lord is huge and magnifical, of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore, what I've been called to do, what God has said I'm to do, I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly. I mean, that's all he could set his heart on, was to keep preparing for the house of God before his death. I mean, he said, this is what I'm going to do. And he kept going after it. He kept calling up this king and saying, hey man, we need this kind of stuff for this, and this gold for this, and this silver for this, and this there's, and the kings are like, yeah, we'll bring it to you, David. And David just kept preparing. Why? Because that's what God called him to do. And we can just see here that David had this enthusiasm towards doing what he was supposed to do, preparation for what God was doing in his life. Ecclesiastes 9. See, when you're not like numero uno in something, and you're having to do, and you maybe taking a supporting role in something, if you don't have enthusiasm about what you're doing, it's going to be hard. Hard to do it. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. So what says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it enthusiastically with all your might. Don't let anything stop you from doing it. Whatever you know you're supposed to be doing in the house of God, I mean, they better bring the whole army if they're going to stop me, because I'm getting this done. Did that make sense? It's going to take more than just a negative thought to stop me. I'm getting this thing done because God told me to do it. Amen? I was thinking as I was preparing this, just a prime example of this. When it's, I guess, 3 years ago, it's been when the flood hit and kind of made a mess of things. That day, that Saturday, I got back from the baseball tournament with where Ryan was at, and man, everybody was here, tugging, pulling, hauling stuff out, just working hard at getting everything done, and we worked probably that next week, just trying to get things out of here, get things. The insurance adjuster came in. We did that. The things got. But the first little bit, we were all like, we got to get this thing taken care of. And then we got tired. And then we would set days where we're going to come in here and all work. We'd all come in and we'd work real hard, and we'd get tired again, and we'd just wait. And then we finally hired out some stuff to get the drywall done and all that kind of stuff. Now again, we had a lot of help, and I'm not saying, but there was so much enthusiasm. And then the longer we went, it just kind of went down and down. And it's kind of like, again, got to work at the church again, got to clean again, got to paint again, got to do this again. And we went from having many volunteers to a few volunteers. And, you know, I was thinking the other day that there's still a couple things from before the flood we still haven't gotten done yet. Yeah, it's no big deal. That was just our enthusiasm. Just kept going. If we'd have started out with those very things, if those were the first things that we covered, they'd be done. Now, again, I'm not judging. I'm just simply saying that's a beautiful example of that when you're doing stuff, and again, if the things that God's called you to do for the church is about showing up at times where church isn't, or is you know, you have to wear your work clothes to church. Sometimes it's tough to get enthusiastic about that. But beloved, if you want to do your best and if you want the blessings of God to come about by finishing the work, you got to keep your enthusiasm. David kept his enthusiasm and man, he prepared. But you know what also he did? Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. I got to wrap this thing up. Hallelujah. Verse 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1. This is point number 4 of what David did. It says, furthermore, David, the king, said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom God has chosen, is yet young and tender, and his work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. So I have prepared, this is what he did, verse 22, right? Or chapter 22. I prepared with all my might, which means he put everything he had into it. He was enthusiastic. I prepared with all my might for the house of God, the golds for things of gold, silver for things of silver, brass for things of brass, iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones, and stones to be set, glistening stones, diverse colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. I prepared. I've worked hard to do that, even though I don't get to actually build the house. Moreover, on top of what I've prepared, on top of what I've done, because I have set my affection on the house. He said back there in Psalm 69, he said, my heart burns for the house of God. Zeal burns. So I have set my affection on the house of God. I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given. So in other words, I did a lot of preparing. I did this. I brought this in. I worked hard. I toiled at it. I did things that again, Solomon's, it was not called David's temple. Solomon's going to get the credit for it, but I've worked my tail off to get it all prepared. But on top of that, I'm not just going to prepare stuff. I'm not just going to work, but I'm going to give. I'm going to give of my own stuff. 3,000 talents of gold of Ophir, 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the house with, the gold for things of gold. Silver. I am of my own, enthusiastically giving money. And so the fourth thing that we know that David did is that he gave enthusiastically. When he brought money, when he gave, it was because his heart was set on it. He had an affection towards it. It says there down in verse 5, he says, who is willing to consecrate? In other words, who's willing to do what I did? And willing, open heart, enthusiastic, who's willing to do it? And see, I think this is something that I think that we don't understand fully. Because if we understood it fully, it would change fully. It would change how we give. But enthusiastic giving is where your harvest lies. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says, there's some of y'all that give a little bit. And guess what? You're only going to receive a little bit. There's some of you that give bountifully. And if you've sown a bountiful seed, you're going to receive bountifully. But he said, I want every one of you to understand this. I want you to Give according to as you purposed in your heart. I don't want you to give grudgingly. I don't want you to give because I have to or pastor's going to be mad at me. God's going to get mad at me. For God's able to pour out in abundance upon a joyful, cheerful, prompt to do it giver. Your attitude, listen, and I know some people, I just think if I sow, how's it been working for you? I'm telling you, I'm giving you one of the missing ingredients on a Christian life. That when this is missing, most Christians wear themselves out trying to do the right things, and it's because they're missing this. I'd rather be a Christian than I'd rather be a Christian and be unhappy than be a sinner and be happy. What's wrong with you? Why don't you be a Christian and be happy? Why don't you be a Christian and be enthusiastic about it? Because that is where, excuse me, your harvest lies. That's where your promotion is. That's where your increase is in your enthusiasm. We are not of those that draw back. Why are we not of those that draw back? Because we have confidence, we have enthusiasm, we're excited about what we're doing, and because we're excited about it, we're taking the next step forward. Instead of withdrawing unto perdition. We have got to be in that place when we bring our tithes, when we bring our offerings. And I trust that you are. God had to take me through some roads to get me on that path. Because I wasn't always in my life real enthusiastic about sowing seed or giving and bringing my tithe. But God gave me a stubborn wife. And He kept working me over. Because he recognized that I can't get to where I'm going. I can't do what God called me to do if I'm hemming and hawing and frustrated and I don't want to give today. But I've got this bill that's due. But I've got this that's going on. Beloved, that's stealing your harvest. That's stealing what God wants to do in you. Hallelujah. Beloved, whatever we do in word or deed, we need to have enthusiasm. Just like David did. That's why David was the man that he was. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. God would speak something to him and he'd get excited about it. God would give him a purpose and he'd get excited about it. And he wouldn't leave it undone. Beloved, when there's a need in the church, how do you feel about that? Ah, another need. Another job for the same people that do it every night, right? Ah. Or is it? Oh, another need. Awesome. I get to be a part of that. In what way can I help you, Pastor? When volunteers are needed, do you have enthusiasm? Or do you bummed out? When our kids first started playing basketball, okay, I'm out of time, so I can finish the story. When our kids first started playing basketball, we were part of the boosters. But we were part of the boosters in that we showed up for the meetings and voted. And we were like, you know, if they need help, all they have to do is call us. But I don't know what I want to volunteer for. And so for the first couple of years, we didn't do a whole lot of volunteering. didn't really want to. And then, then we got to the point where we were kind of annoyed because it didn't seem like anybody was doing a whole lot. And those that were doing a whole lot were just kind of, I don't know, not working with the basketball, not working with the coaches very well. So Jesse and I just made up our minds. We made up our minds. As long as our kids are in basketball, we are going to be on the front lines. We are going to do whatever's necessary. We're going to keep our hands full. And long story short, you know how we've been in that. But see, to this day, I had one person the other day tell me that I should own the naming rights for one of the basketball classics that they put on every year because I've been more influential to it. I don't want the name rights. The Thad Callahan Martin Luther King Jr. Classic. I don't think that would sound good. But they were like, you've done everything for it. If you didn't do it, it didn't get done. And but see, I changed my mentality. When I changed my mentality, we went from boosters that were kind of always around zero to boosters that left. I think one year we left over $8,000 in their bank account so that they would have a good start on the next year or over the summer in the next year. The girls we left and the girls we got with negative, like $600, negative $600. It's not a good thing. The boys technically we did too, but we owed it. But we left the girls with, in one year, with almost $6,000. What changed is that we got out in front. We were enthusiastic about what we were doing. We said if it's going to get done, it might as well get done right. And so we're excited about doing it. And when everybody else was busy walking around going complaining because nobody was helping, we were just like, hey, if nobody helps, that does not pass the buck on me. We still got to get it done. And we got it done. But see, enthusiasm is what helped us out on days that we didn't. That's like, wasn't easy to do it. Enthusiasm was. And enthusiasm is what's going to take you over the top, beloved, in your Christian walk. Enthusiasm is not about being a flash in the pan. It's about being consistent. And again, I'm next week, I've got nine things. Lord, show me nine things that I think is, if you need to get your enthusiasm, if you're noticing your enthusiasm is waning, he just showed me nine things that that you really you do to kind of get it going again, to stir that fire, to stir that thing up inside of you. I mean, obviously, you probably can guess a couple of them. Word more. Time alone more with God. But we'll get into that next week. But I'm telling you what, beloved, if you want that thing, it's going to unlock some doors in your life. Stir up that enthusiasm for the things of God, for the work of God, for what God's called you to do. Stir it up. Amen. Let's stand together. One of the reasons, I forget the statistic, but the statistic is alarming how many pastors quit the ministry every day. It's crazy. How many pastors? Men who were called by God, men and women who were called by God, who were excited, who started this thing because they're called, they felt a fire, they felt a call of God. And they just quit. They just quit. Why would you just quit? Why would you stop this thing? They all have different reasons. I needed to get a job. You know, the people were mean to me or things weren't growing the way I wanted to grow or whatever. And they can go through a lot of things. But, beloved, it just if we can be honest with ourselves, it goes right back to the point that their enthusiasm stopped. They weren't enthusiastic. They weren't excited about what God was doing any longer. And because of that, it became a drudgery to carry the call. To carry the call on your own. Because, man, you can't do it on your own. And you've got to keep yourself strong. You've got to keep yourself, you got to keep yourself in His presence so that you can keep yourself enthused. So you can keep doing what God called you to do. There's some of y'all in this place that I know, I don't say this first part, every one of you in this place, God's placed a call on your life. For what? I don't know. I don't know. There's some of you that are called in the ministry to preach, to teach, to help, to guide. Some of you are called to be the ministry of helps, which would be just the, you know, things around the church, things in the service, things like that. You've been called to that, some have been different levels. Some of you have been called to sing, to play pianos, to play drums, to play instruments. Some of you have been called to teach children, work in those areas. I'll be honest with you, because I think some of you have been given the call to be givers. And again, that's biblical. That's not me saying. I'm just saying maybe you've been called to be a paymaster. And what the enemy, his main effort is to get you tired of what you've been called to do. If you've been called to be a prayer warrior, he's going to try to get you to not be able to get up in the morning fresh, to where if I could have just had a little more sleep, or try to get you where, I don't know, where things seem like a drudgery instead of an excitement to pray. Because he just wants to remove you. If he can remove the enthusiasm from you, he can get you. And there's some of you out there who have stepped away from your gifting, stepped away from your calling because of, I'll say, the battle that perhaps you've been under. I've got to make more money. I've got to do this. I've got to do this. And so you filled your life up with a lot of extra stuff instead of the Word of God, and therefore the gifting and the calling that He's placed on you, the thing that He directed you to do, you've gotten worn out doing that because you've been busy doing everything else. And I can just sense the Holy Spirit saying, beloved, you're still my child. I still love you. But you could get a lot more. You could go a lot further in what you've been called to do if you'd set aside all these other things that have been grabbing your enthusiasm and just spend time with me. Let me move you with passion once again. And so I'll leave it at that. Identify, but once you've identified, realize I've got to do something to build. Building up my passion, rising up in me, filling up my hunger with everything I need. Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you for this word. Lord, and I trust that as much as this word has come from my heart and come from the throne of God, I know that. I pray, Father, that in this, me translating it from the heart of God, I pray that it came through clearly. That this beloved body of believers in this place just will grab a hold of what you're saying. Will identify where enthusiasm has waned. Identify where they need to get it going again. And that they stir up the gift, stir up the passion, stir up the enthusiasm that you have placed inside of them so that we as a body can accomplish that which you've called us to. I love you. I love you. I love you. Praise you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.